Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. There are five Republican candidates seeking the U.S. Senate seat held by Democrat Tim Johnson, who's retiring at the end of his term. Jason Ronsberg is one of them. He first announced he was running for Johnson's seat last December. He's a Yankton lawyer, a major in the Army Reserves. He was deployed to Germany in 2003, Iraq in 2004, and Afghanistan in 2009. This is his first campaign for public office, and he joins us here in our Vermilion studios. And Jason Ronsberg, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you, Carl. It's good to be here with you here today.
And I understand you're here at your alma mater.
Yes, I am. It's changed a little bit since I was here last. ROTC actually was held on this floor when I was in school.
This is the old armory.
Correct.
Now, tell us a little bit about your background. You come from a farming background originally?
I do. I grew up on a farm near Quimby, Iowa. It's about 75 miles from here. My family grew up in Iowa, and my father actually came to Vermilion, and he was the first one to graduate college in our family, and then his brothers and sisters also graduated here. Then I came, and my father said, why don't you get involved in ROTC? Because my father had gone to ROTC. Interestingly, our lives kind of parallel to an extent. He went to ROTC, I went to ROTC. He went to Vietnam after completing college here. I then graduated, continued on, went to law school here in Vermilion. And then I started getting deployed. As you mentioned, I've been deployed three times, and I also went with a quartermaster unit the first time. So,
what do you think that experience, your background, how that has prepared you for a possibility of serving in the U.S. Senate?
Well, I believe it's given me a diverse background. I not only understand agriculture, I'm a small business owner, I understand the law, being a lawyer, and I am a veteran, and I'm still actually in the reserves, and I can address those issues as we go forward. Also, in the military, has taught me how to build a consensus and work with others on difficult issues and problems. And sometimes I've been under very stressful situations, like being in Iraq and out on those IED-filled roads are not a pleasant situation, but you got to step up and make tough decisions and make them quickly sometimes.
And you were part of a NATO training, NATO base?
That was when I was in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. Afghanistan is very NATO heavy. I actually represented the United States on a number of committees, and that was an awe-inspiring event. You know, you'd work very hard that we had 70% of the population, but only had one vote, whereas Canada, Great Britain, France, and Belgium all had a vote, and they together were only 30% of the population. So you had to work together to build a consensus to get things done.
So you think that is something that a background that will serve you well in a legislative situation?
Most definitely. Working together to get things done. And a lot of times you come at it with very differing viewpoints and also, very difficult, headstrong people. And you got to be able to willing to react and but also understand where they're coming from and build a consensus and get things done.
Now, you mentioned the Army Reserves. Now, how does that fit in with your background and your experiences?
I went to ROTC, like I mentioned. I'm a major currently. I'm also in a unit in Minneapolis, Minnesota right now. It's an intelligence unit. We oversee parts of the world that are very hostile and get updates on intelligence and backgrounds there. So we're seeing things behind the scenes that maybe they're not the public sees. Also, I believe I continue to work with other services there. It's a joint unit, so I work with all four services. So again, just like NATO, you got to build a consensus and get things done. But if you continue to work hard, you can get a lot of things done.
The question that I've asked the other candidates is a basic one. Why are you running for U.S. Senate?
Well, I think that's the key question. Why are you running? And why I am running is I was fed up. I'm an ordinary citizen. I didn't believe I would be entering this race by any fashion, but we have a lot of problems in this country, and we continue to kick the can down the road, and nobody seems to want to address them. We have to start addressing some of these things. And you hear the same old answers from the career politicians. You ask them a question, and you're more confused by the time you're done than the time you asked them. So I will always give you a straightforward answer. I believe I'm a person of integrity. I believe I have a strong background, and I believe that Washington needs to change. And then over the last couple election cycles, we've sent four gentlemen to the U.S. Senate who'd never been elected before, and they're the ones that are kind of stirring things up because they aren't bought and paid for and can move forward and try and address some of these issues.
Now you mentioned change. What sort of change do you have in mind?
Number one, we got to start addressing balancing the budget. Everybody says it, but offer some solutions. How are we actually going to do it? Well, number one, I think we should cut the federal corporate income tax or federal corporate tax rate. We have $3 to $4 trillion sitting offshore that we can bring in if we cut the rate from 35 to 25. And there's some support for that on the Republican and the Democratic side. And the president's even talked about that to an extent. And the devil's always in the details, but if you cut it from 35 to 25, you can create 5.3 million jobs over the next 10 years. Now, that helps us on the income side, but Washington's real problem is spending. As my father always taught me, it's not how much you make, it's how much you spend, son. And dealing with people in bankruptcy and the law, that's so true. I've had clients that make $150,000 a year here in South Dakota, which is a very, very good wage, and they're dead broke because they spend too much. Same with D.C. I like a plan called the penny plan. You cut $1 for every $100 that we spend, and over the next 6 years, you can gradually balance the budget. Now, we have an opportunity here in South Dakota to pick up a seat. As you mentioned, Senator Johnson, Democrat's going to retire. If the Republicans are able to take over that seat and a few more around the country, they can get some votes on these things. Right now, Senator Harry Reid, the majority leader, won't allow things like that to even come up for a vote. I say, let's give it a try.
It's interesting that the timing of your announcement, which was last December, which came not long after the partial government shutdown, some of the other things that were going on at the time. I'm wondering if it was after that or around that time that you decided that I'm going to run, or if you were talking with people and this kind of put the idea in your head.
Well, in the fall time frame, I don't know the exact date that people talked to me about running, but I was pretty fed up. We have candidates in this race that wouldn't debate, and we're real close to Iowa here. They have more candidates than we do, and they're having multiple debates. We're going to have our first debate finally April 12th here. I think the people deserve better to have a debate sooner. Find out where these people are on the issues. I'm in this race, and I don't know where everybody stands on all the issues yet, because a lot of times they've also attacked each other. They're spending lots of time attacking each other and not telling us where they stand or how they're going to get things done. I think solutions is what I want to hear. If I'm the individual citizen, if I'm out there, I want to hear how they're actually going to get it done, or what's their idea at least to try and get it done. And I believe I'm trying to offer solutions as we go through, like our first example.
Now, there's been some debate over among your fellow candidates over who's the most conservative or how conservative they are. I'm wondering how you feel that you fit within that sort of spectrum within the Republican Party.
Well, first off, I do believe we waste a lot of time fighting about if you're a Tea Party or if you're establishment. We've designed these labels, and we've divided ourselves in our own party versus moving forward. I am a conservative. Small government, less regulation, low taxes. But we also have to stand on our principles, but we got to get some things done. I do believe Democrats are very much better at getting things done because they're willing to take a little bit at a time and chip away, whereas Republicans, we want everything today. Well, that's not how the Senate works. Senate's about compromise. And I will not compromise my principles, but we got to keep moving along. We keep just not doing anything. You mentioned the government shutdown. In the government shutdown, they waited to the last minute, like they tend to do in Washington, and then let's do something. They're there all year long. They should have started a lot sooner and tried to work it out.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with Jason Roensberg. He's one of the Republican candidates seeking the U.S. Senate seat currently held by Democrat Tim Johnson. The primary is coming up in June 3rd. And this is your first bid for public office. I'm wondering what you see are some of the challenges that you face as someone who doesn't have the background in office that some of your other candidates in this race have?
Well, a lot of candidates have a lot more money. They've started. I mean, one candidate started over a year ago and built up a lot of money. I mean, I think it is pretty sad that we judge people on how much money they can raise. So I've tried to balance that by getting out there and talking to real people. I've tried to go to a lot of small towns, and I think it's also sad that I'm the fifth person to get in the race, And I'm the first person to go to many towns. They said, well, Mr. Weiland, the Democrat's been here, but none of your other Republican challengers have been here. I think that's pretty sad. And I've tried to get out and talk to people. We did the petition process here recently. I tried to go out and get as many as I could myself. My legal job kept me from getting them all myself, which was my goal, but I did get about 1,500 of them myself. Well, that means I talked to 1,500 people at least. And if I talked to, obviously, a lot more Democrats and independents as I went along also. And I've also tried to go out to areas that are not traditionally Republican. I've gone out to Pine Ridge and talked to President Brewer, who treated me very graciously. He invited me then to speak before all the Indian tribes, and I did so in Sioux Falls. I've tried to talk to the bilingual community in Sioux Falls. I've done that, and I've also tried to enroll people to vote and register to vote. As I go around, if they tell me, well, I'm not registered, well, as I'd had the petition to sign, I had another form for them, and I would even take it to the auditor's office for them and try and get them involved. And I think we need to get as many people involved and educated on the issues as we can.
From your experiences here in talking with people in South Dakota, what is it that you're hearing from people? What's on their minds? What are their concerns?
Number one is they're fed up. Nothing's getting done. They want to be conservative in South Dakota, but they're tired of nothing getting done in D.C., and they're discouraged. Second, they have a lot of concerns about the national debt. Third, there are numerous people talking about energy policy. How is it going to affect us in North Dakota? Is it going to come over into South Dakota? How is the shutdown of the coal plants in the east going to affect our energy? Especially as I went around a lot this fall, propane was going up, so that became a more of a topic. And people are just generally fed up. They want some straight answers, and they want people in there that are willing to fight and take on the tough issues.
The ability to get things done in the Senate, in Congress, I'm wondering how you see yourself, if you're elected as one senator, to be able to make things happen as a freshman senator at that.
Correct. But one of the things I would do, and it sounds real simple, but it just makes sense, I would go talk to every senator, if it's the most liberal that I don't agree with or the most conservative, and talk to each and every senator. I think right now we have a communication problem. A lot of these senators won't even talk to each other and are more interested in scoring political points. And I would sit down with them and say, here are the 10 things I'd like to accomplish. Give me a list of 10 things. Maybe we can't agree on the top thing, or maybe not even until we get down to 8 or 9, but let's build a consensus and let's keep communication open. And we have to continue to work hard at some of these things and bring them up for a vote. If we do get control of the United States Senate, let's at least take a vote and see where people stand.
Do you see that there's this dysfunctional environment currently in Congress?
Most definitely. Right now, the House passes bills and the Senate won't even vote on them. Now, the Senate has turned around and stripped away the filibuster for circuit and district court judges, which has just further ratcheted up the anxiety and the animosity between the parties. And a number of judges are now getting appointed and that are just getting through that maybe wouldn't have if those rules hadn't been changed. And also, I'm very concerned about this new Surgeon General nominee, who is a very anti-gun advocate. And I'm a very strong believer in the Second Amendment, and I'm an NRA Life member, and those things give me pause. Plus, you would think the Surgeon General would have more important things to do than worry about guns.
In looking at politicians, government officials today or in the past, are there some that you see as sort of, oh, yeah, this is someone that maybe I should emulate?
Yes, most definitely. I like Tom Coburn out of Oklahoma. He's a U.S. senator. He was a doctor before he went to the Senate. He has a plan. It's called the Patient Care Act. It's kind of where do we go from Obamacare? Because we cannot just be the party of no. We have to have ideas ourselves. And if we do that, the people will respond and take a look at our ideas. He is a person of principle who has steadfastly fought against the debt. And he publishes a year-long study of the waste that he has found in the budget. But he's also somebody that's well-respected by both sides and is willing to compromise and get things done as he needs.
What are some of the elements in his healthcare plan?
Well, he keeps the good parts of Obamacare, which are the pre-existing conditions and the up to 26 provision where children can be on the parents' policy. But it doesn't have all the government overreach and all the regulations, and it mainly helps the people at the bottom, the people that have the need for it, without encompassing us all. Sadly, I found a gentleman in Gettysburg, South Dakota, and I found two or three examples like this where they're losing their health care coverage because they don't have prenatal care, and he's not expected to have too many children, and pediatrics. And he's a grown man his kids are all grown. He's going to lose his health care coverage because he doesn't have those things in his policy, and he will never use them. Secondly, he then complained and said, well, I don't need these things. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Obamacare says you got to have them. So he's going to transition, he said, but it's going to cost him from $300 a month. His premium is going to go up to $700 a month to get the same coverage with things he doesn't need. I think that's pretty sad.
Now, you mentioned the not being the Republicans tend to be the party of no. So this is an example of how you can compromise or maybe see, okay, there is a problem with health care. Maybe this isn't the answer. We got to find another way.
Right. I believe that I am open to new ideas, but we also have to have ours and have a position to start from and find those common ground that we can use to build a consensus to make it better. As you saw today, you might have seen in the news, today was the enrollment day. The president didn't meet his goals. And the Democrats are even talking about that they need to tweak it. And how do we tweak it? I guess the devil's in the details, but I definitely think that changes need to be made. But if we repeal it, we have a lot of people on Medicare. We can't just repeal it. We need to repeal and replace.
Looking at your campaign over the past couple of months, has this been, since you made your announcement, has this been... What kind of experience has this been for you?
Oh, it's been wonderful. I've met a lot of great people, and I've been to a lot of towns I hadn't been to before. If you've not been to Hovind, South Dakota, you need to go to Hovind and go see the Cathedral on the Prairie. Absolutely gorgeous. I've been out talking to people. I've been meeting people, going to different restaurants, and I've been kind of promoting the state as I can around. Go have ribs at the firehouse in Gettysburg. Go to the stock show in Bennett County there, Martin, and go around and see people and listen to them. That's why my campaign is all about Jason for South Dakota. I don't want to be a politician. I never want to be a politician. I want to be a statesman, somebody that represents the people. Well, to know what the people actually want, you got to go out and talk to them. You can't just sit on your butt and run a campaign. And I don't think that we deserve to have candidates that are just on TV or on radio. I appreciate being on radio, but I think you should be able to reach out and touch them. And if they have a question, they should be able to send it to you and you answer it.
And over the next 2 months before the June 3rd primary, just continuing getting out and about in South Dakota?
Continuing to get out and see as many people as possible. I guess one of my opponents even asked me, do you think you can keep this up? You do seem to be everywhere. I said, most definitely. I only slept 4 hours a day when I was in Iraq. This is a piece of cake. And then nobody's shooting at me here.
Right. So. Well, Jason Runsberg, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Well, I sure appreciate it. And, be glad to come back anytime.
All right. Jason Runsberg is one of the five Republican candidates for the U.S. Senate seat currently held by Democrat Tim Johnson. He's retiring at the end of his term. Senator Johnson is. State primary again is June 3rd, and we're inviting all of the U.S. Senate candidates on Dakota Midday. And you can find previous interviews with Republican Stace Nelson, Larry Roden, Independent Larry Pressler, and Democrat Rick Weiland on our website at sdpb.org.